The Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week 2019 title sponsor, TechStars. At the core, TechStars is a company founded by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. With more than 300,000 alumni and 10,000 mentors across 150 countries, TechStars is a worldwide network that helps entrepreneurs succeed. To learn more, go to techstars.com. Welcome to the Boulder Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Davis. This is one of 20 interviews recorded in a pop-up backroom studio at Dojo 4 during the 10th annual Boulder Startup Week. When it started in 2009, Boulder Startup Week was the first event of its kind anywhere. Now, Startup Weeks are held around the world. It's a great example of Boulder's position on the leading edge of tech and the future. Our guest for episode 52 is Rami Sahar, founder and CEO at ClickMJ, a loyalty program platform created specifically for the cannabis retail sector. Rami and I talk many things cannabis, including why consumers can feel secure in sharing their info with platforms such as ClickMJ, the stiff competition in the marijuana marketing biz and what sets ClickMJ apart, differences between the California and Colorado cannabis industries, and how a construction business development specialist wound up in the pot industry and eventually Boulder. All of that and more as the Boulder Tech Podcast speaks with Rami Sahar from ClickMJ. Talk about how ClickMJ works.
In a nutshell, ClickMJ empowers dispensaries to drive revenue through enhanced customer engagement. We do so by utilizing our ClickMJ mobile application, as well as a loyalty, rewards, and marketing platform. So how it works, let me just dumb it down a little bit. Users walk into a dispensary. Dispensary tells them to download this mobile application because that's where they're pushing their deals right now. So the user does so. He goes back home. There's a whole loyalty platform involved in that mobile application. So it's interactive with the customer. They know what they're getting. They're accumulating points, and they know what they're reaching to. So initially, after they get their first deal from that dispensary, it's visual. They go back to that dispensary. They verify the redemption. So the dispensary has everything in a nutshell, right? Everything's being tracked, all the analytics being recorded. And on top of that, what we actually do, which is our unique selling point, is that we funnel food and entertainment coupons through the same system that we give dispensaries. So we enhance the customer's experience post-consumption or post-purchase, if you will.
So ClickMJ is basically baked into the dispensaries app?
Yes. So ClickMJ offers dispensary a CRM platform so they can start interacting with the dispensaries. Mm-hmm. Currently, dispensaries engage with their customers through text messages. And there's not a lot of data out of that. They can't verify redemptions, so on and so forth. It's spam-like. So we link their CRM to the mobile application. So now everything's being tracked, recorded, and the customer's happy. So is the dispensary.
Are you furnishing this app only to recreational dispensaries or to medical as well?
Well, we started off in the recreational right now and moving into the medical soon.
And how many? I believe there are 10 states that are recreationally legal now.
Yes.
And how many are you in?
We launched our pilot initially in Las Vegas. We proved our concept over there a couple of months ago. We had 1,000 people on the app after like a month and a half. There was a lot of contradictions since the dispensary was giving out better deals than the mobile app deals, but we still had people going through the mobile application, which was great. And we are signing with dispensaries in Boulder, California, and Las Vegas at the moment.
If I'm getting this straight, the consumer is benefiting because they're accumulating points and getting deals from the dispensary based on their loyalty and amount of purchases from each dispensary.
Yes, as well as based on their interest. So the app asks the user what their interests are, such as flower, vapes, edibles, blah, blah, blah. And then they put it in and they start getting targeted from the dispensary based on their interest. Because there is really no point of sending somebody a marketing hit in regards to edibles when they're not interested in any edibles, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is this something that the consumer has to sign up for, or they just download the app and...
Simply download the app. We don't ask for much information. Mm-hmm. It's just their name, no number, and email. Email so they can, if they ever forgot their password, they could go back and and reset it. But besides that, not much information. Of course, their birthday, they got to be 21 and above.
Right.
But yeah.
So what would you say to a customer who's reluctant to hand over even their email and their birth date because they don't want to be entered into a database of known marijuana users?
Definitely. We keep everything private and we make sure of that we're never ever going to sell your data. It's easy to say that, but we don't acquire more data than they're actually giving the dispensary at the moment of purchase or when they're registering. So just their birth day, of course, as I mentioned, they need 21 and above and their name.
How is marketing in the cannabis business different from marketing in any other sector?
It's tricky. Initially, we started off printing fast food chains, restaurant pictures on exit bags in California and putting a QR code underneath it. So when the user would go scan the QR code, they'd get the deal on their phone and just go redeem at a restaurant or entertainment business. We figured there was a lot of regulations around that when things started becoming legalized, which is why we're doing what we're doing right now. Because in order to advertise a business that is usually being advertised to 21 and below, the audience needs to be 77% and above of 21 and above. So what we did is we funnel it through the CRM of the dispensary, making sure that the audience is 21 and above at 100% rate.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you still have to also deal with the, I don't know, I guess you're not really, you're really just kind of sort of in the background.
Yes.
You're not talking to me, the consumer directly per se.
No, Click MJ offers the dispensaries the CRM, and at no charge to the dispensary, we funnel the non-cannabis advertisements through them. So they're like a fully serviced dispensary right now, taking care of their customers when it comes to cannabis and non-cannabis. And that's pretty much one of our streams. People advertise through us and we funnel it to the customers.
How stiff is Click MJ's competition and how do you differentiate from them?
Good question. It's pretty stiff. Definitely stiff. We differentiate because, you know, we're innovative. It's like a 0-to-1 business. We're the first to do this right now. We're not trying to spam the customers of the dispensaries. And being a customer-centric company is for the sole reason for the dispensary to keep retaining his customer. Because if you lose your customer, which is our customer in a sense, then you're losing the sale or the purchase. So we differentiate ourselves to make the mobile application user-friendly, the loyalty to be engaging and interactive with the customer, not in a sense where they're walking into a dispensary that has our competition service, but they don't know what's going on in their loyalty points. So they're, it's like their third visit and the dispensary is like, oh, you have a 5% off today. Oh, well, I didn't know that. What if I don't want this 5% and I want to keep building up to 20%, for example? Mm-hmm. We offer all these solutions.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved in the cannabis industry?
A long time. Initially, I started off as doing business development for construction companies, forming joint ventures in regards to infrastructure, stadiums, and so on, big projects. After that, I moved on to co-founding my own skincare company up in Newport Beach. It's like 100% pure and natural, this, and that. But I've always been an advocate to the cannabis space, right? Mm-hmm. I was in Amsterdam with my cousin when I was 15 years old, for example. We ran away from our family from Germany, took a train, spent 2 nights out there. They caught us, obviously, eventually. So, you know, I've been in the space. It's always interested me. And here we are. I was sitting with one of my buddies on the balcony and we were talking about how our restaurants and entertainment businesses is not targeting cannabis consumers right now. I mean, if I had a 50% off Domino's at this point, I would order. And this was, you know, 3-4 years ago. Oh, it stuck with me. And so we started working on it about 1.5 years ago and here we are.
All right.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any similarities or differences between California and Colorado cannabis industries?
So I've visited a couple of dispensaries over here. In California, there's no jars filled with weed anymore that they put into canisters, unless it's like an illegal dispensary. So everything's pre-packaged and then given to the dispensary and it's got an expiry date and stuff. So I've been at a dispensary over here where they were still working with the jars. Right. It was a legal dispensary, so it was a shock to me. You know, you guys are a little bit more forward, progressive, since you legalized way before us.
So does that seem a little antiquated to you that we still have the jars here and it's on display? I mean, to me, that seemed like, how cool is it to walk into a store and there's like 30 jars of pot there?
It's awesome. It's awesome for the customer, definitely. I mean, if it was up to me, I'd keep it that way. But now that there's upcoming brands and people are pouring money into their marketing, brands need to be recognized in an industry that's legal.
I'm going to go on a limb here and guess that you are expecting, like most of us, I think, that eventually marijuana will be legal, you know, throughout the land.
Yes.
How will that affect your business and the industry as a whole?
Definitely. So we were just speaking about this yesterday at Canopy and how once it's federally legal, there's going to be a whole lot of institutions pouring a lot of money into the industry, mm-hmm. right? Because these institutions with hundreds of billions of dollars can't put their money in right now, not even to CBD or hemp. So their hands are tied based on what their lawyers are telling them, so on and so forth in regards to CBD. But once it's legal, it's like a supply and demand thing. There's going to be a whole lot of demand.
And a whole lot of supply.
Yes, a whole lot of supply.
So the big players, the big corporations, I mean, we know that tobacco companies mm-hmm. and big business is mm-hmm. definitely just like licking their chops, waiting to wade into this industry.
For sure.
And how much of a wipeout is that going to be for the independent mom and pop dispensary?
A pretty big one. I mean, these guys don't come in and value you at a normal valuation. They're there of giving you an offer that you pretty much can't refuse. So if you're trying to sell for $1 million and you're hesitant, they'll give you $2 million, $3 million, just get out of here. We're trying to buy 10 of you and just like make it a huge conglomerate.
But do you see it sort of eventually finding some equilibrium where it is the way it is now with beer, where you've got your Anheuser-Busch, but you've also got your microbrews? I mean, Colorado is a huge microbrew
for sure
state.
I think people would start noticing, speaking for myself, I wouldn't want to go buy cannabis from a corporation that's, it's scaling for the whole nation, right? Mm-hmm. They're growing so much. The care that is put into it is divided onto 100 million plants maybe. Whereas if you're working with a family or an independent private business, they're taking care of their plants in a different way. And it's only a couple of times of a year that they're actually budding. So I don't know. For me, it's a little bit different. I'd still go with the mom and pops.
Right. I mean, you just want that sort of that personal attention exactly. and knowing where it came from. And I don't like to shop in big box stores. And, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people, especially California, Colorado, states like that.
Oh, yeah.
People definitely feel the same. Mm-hmm. So you're based in California. What brings you to Boulder Startup Week?
Wow. Initially, Patrick and Bob from Canopy Boulder gave me a call. They're like, hey, we like what you're doing. So we want you guys to come down to Boulder, see how we could work together, partner up. So that's what I did. Came down here with my wife, left everything. And it's exciting being around entrepreneurs that are, everybody's in their own different sector of the cannabis industry. Everybody's waking up in the morning and they've got goals on their mind. You know, we're literally changing the infrastructure of the cannabis space as we speak.
Right. Have you been to Boulder many times?
It's my first time.
Your first
time?
Loving
it.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
What are any impressions on the city? And
it's beautiful, man. I've seen the snow, rain, and sun in like the past 4 days.
Yeah.
So it's great. You know, it's taken a toll on me, but it's spring now, so we'll get used to it. Besides that, we live on the creek. We take the bikes to work every single day, which is something that nobody does in California. We're driving 2 hours a day. But it's beautiful. The people are amazing. They've got like this spirituality way of life. You see a lot of people on hammocks, chilling by the river. It's just nice and I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a nice lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So are you out here for more than just Startup Week? You said you're living here.
Yes, I'm out here for 3 to 4 months.
Are you going through the Canopy program?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
We are. Initially, we're integrating into different POS systems as we speak. So we could just target all the dispensaries that we have on our list in Boulder as well as Colorado as a whole. Mm-hmm. And once I set up foundations over here, I'll make my way back to California and start working.
Or not, like a lot of Californians.
Or not.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to stay.
Yeah, so I've heard.
So in your experience here in Boulder now, have you talked to a lot of people in the tech and startup community outside of the cannabis sector, or are you just sort of kind of tucked into your little niche?
Well, I haven't been here for too long. I'm tucked in to the cannabis space, but I have been speaking. So yesterday we were at a party at Techstars, which is like the floor right underneath us. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool. Just met a lot of people doing different things. Obviously, most of it's like technology. There was like a small little robot going around the party taking pictures and videos. It was cool.
That's cool and creepy.
And creepy, yes, I was just about to say.
You know, when I spoke with Patrick Ray from Canopy for this podcast mm-hmm. A few months ago, He had talked about a big growth area in the cannabis business is just data and being able to track from seed to sale and customer habits and definitely trends and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Where does ClickMJ fit into all of that?
It's right in the midst of it, really. We're getting data in regards to what the customer purchases and what their interests are, leading on to what brands they like. And on the opposite side of the spectrum, we know exactly what they're purchasing after consuming cannabis, such as restaurants, entertainment businesses. And as we gather this data and study it, we can start targeting them with exactly or close to being exactly what they want.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What else? What am I missing?
You know, I really want my listeners to wake up in the morning. I know that ClickMJ isn't the biggest of the companies right now or isn't the biggest out of the circle of my competition. But, you know, with dedication and perseverance, you can get to wherever the hell you want to in this life. Everything's possible. And when you notice that everything around you is built by humans and when you actually get to understand that, you'll then become innovative and start creating things.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing, you know, I've interviewed a lot of people now for this podcast over the last year. And I think the one thing that they would probably all agree on is if you've got an idea, just take a step.
Exactly.
And then another one after that. And
that's how things are done. Yeah. I mean, and when you do start, you can't stop. You got to take it all the way to know the real answer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Rami Sahar from ClickMJ, thank you very much.
Appreciate it, Joel. Thank you.
That was Rami Sahar, founder and CEO at ClickMJ. Learn more at clickmj.com, that's ClickUEMJ, and follow them on Twitter at click_MJ. Episode number 52 of the Boulder Tech Podcast is presented by Boulder Startup Week food track sponsor, Nutrition Capital Network. The Boulder Tech Podcast is made possible in part by Boulder Startup Week Platinum sponsors Honey, Matter, and Zayo. We're also supported by Glider, a Colorado-based community movement and nonprofit that produces Boulder's Ignite and TEDx events, as well as Boulder Startup Week. Learn more and consider a donation at glider.com. Thanks to Dojo 4 for providing space for our podcast studio and to KGNU Community Radio for recording gear and studio usage. Our intro music is by Echo Deck. Hear more at echodeck.com. That's ECCODEK. Our outro music is by Earthrise Sound System. You'll find them at earthrisesoundsystem.com. The Boulder Tech Podcast is produced by me, Joel Davis. Your feedback, criticisms, comments, and guest suggestions are welcome. Reach me at joel@dojo4.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here for the next episode of the Boulder Tech Podcast.